Martha Knox asked me about rodeo. Crosby says it's a good way to get made dead, she said. It's the best way I know. We were facing each other across the short pine fire, just us, drinking. In the tent behind Martha Knox were five hunters from Chicago, asleep or tired, mad at me for not being able to make them good enough shots to kill any of the elk we'd seen that week. In the tent behind me were the cook stoves and the food and two foam pads with a sleeping bag for each of us. She slept under horse blankets to be warmer, and we both slept on the jeans we'd be wearing the next day to keep them from freezing. It was the middle of October, the last hunt of the season, and ice hung in long needles off the muzzles of the horses every morning when we saddled. "Are you drunk?" I asked her. "I'll tell you something," she said. "That's a pretty damn good question." She was looking at her hands. They were clean, with all the expected cuts and burns, but they were clean hands. "You rode rodeo, right?" she asked. "One time too many," I said. "Bulls?" "Bronx." "Is that why you get called Buck?" "I get called Buck because I stabbed myself in the leg with my buck knife when I was a kid."
"Ever get nailed in rodeo?"
"I got on this bronc one night and knew right away, right in the chute, that it wasn't going to have me. It wanted me gone and dead for trying. Never was so scared on a horse as on that son of a bitch."
"You think it knew?"
"Knew? How could it know?"
"Crosby says the first job of a horse is to figure out who's riding it and who's in charge."
"That's my old man's line. He says it to scare dudes. If horses were that smart, they'd be riding us."
"That's Crosby's line."
"No." I took another drink. "That's my old man's line, too."
"So you got thrown?"
"But my wrist got caught in the rigging, and I was dragged around the ring three times under the son of a bitch's belly. Crowd loved it. Horse loved it. Put me in the hospital almost a year."
"Give me that?"
She reached for the bottle.
"I want to ride Bronx," she said. "I want to ride rodeo."
"That's what I meant to do," I said. "I meant to talk you into it with that story."
"Was your dad mad?"
I didn't answer that. I stood up and walked over to the tree where all the pack gear was hung up in the branches, like food hung away from bears. I unzipped my fly and said, "Shield your eyes, Martha Knox. I'm about to unleash the biggest thing in the Wyoming Rockies." She didn't say anything while I pissed, but when I got back to the fire, she said,
"That's Crosby's line."
I found a can of tobacco in my pocket. "No, it's not," I said. "That's my old man's line, too." I tapped the can against my leg to pack the chew, then took some. It was my last can of tobacco, almost empty. "My old man bought that bronc," I said. "He found the owner and gave him twice what the bastard was worth. Then he took it out back of the cook shack, shot it in the head, and buried it in the compost pile."
"You're kidding me," Martha Knox said.
"Don't bring it up with him."
"Hell no. No way."
"He came to see me every day in the hospital. We never even talked because he was so goddamn beat. He just smoked. He'd flick the cigarette butts over my head and they'd land in the toilet and hiss out. I was in a neck brace for a bunch of months and I couldn't even turn my head and see him. So damn bored. Just about the only thing I lived for was seeing those butts go flying over my face to the toilet."
"That's bored," Martha Knox said.
"My brother Crosby showed up sometimes too, with pictures of girls."
"Sure."
"Well, that was okay to look at, too."
"Sure.
Everyone had a butt for you to look at." She drank. I took the bottle, passed it back, and she drank more. There was snow around us. There had been hail on the day we rode in and snow almost every night. In the afternoons, big patches of it would melt off in the meadow and leave small white piles like laundry, and the horses would walk through these. The grass was almost gone, and the horses had started leaving at night, looking for better food. We hung cowbells around their necks, and these rang flat and loud while they grazed. It was a good noise. I was used to it, and I only noticed it when it was gone. That quiet of no bells meant no horses, and it could wake me up in the middle of the night. We'd have to go out after the horses then, but I knew where they usually went, and we'd head that way. Martha Knox was figuring them out, too, and she didn't complain about having to get dressed in the middle of the night, in the cold, and go listen for bells in the dark.